The Bible says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, or I beg thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, and I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. I want to use as a topic for the lesson tonight, rooted by righteousness. Rooted by righteousness. The story of Hezekiah is a very powerful story. It is a story of trouble, but yet it is also a story of triumph. It is a story of an all-powerful God who, within the context of this account, would declare and even demonstrate his power over mankind. But yet it is a story in which a powerful, omnipotent God would be moved to change his mind. God's willingness to change his mind, I submit to you, was rooted in the righteousness of Hezekiah. The word righteous means conformity to law and the mind and the will of God. Here in what was a very challenging time, Hezekiah was able to maintain a position of being rooted because of his righteousness toward God. And I want to suggest just about three ways in which Hezekiah was rooted in righteousness. I believe the first way that he was rooted in righteousness is that Hezekiah was rooted in a righteousness that could be recalled. I want to say it again. Hezekiah was rooted in a righteousness that could be recalled. Look again at the words in verse number 3 of Isaiah chapter 38. And he said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. You know, Hezekiah was in a position in which he was literally and figuratively up against the wall. Upon hearing the words of Isaiah to have to go and get your house in order. Hezekiah did not need to go and say, I better get my life right. I better go and correct some things about my life. I better go and stop doing some of the things that I know have been not right and not been pleasing to God. But Hezekiah was in a position that immediately upon hearing the command and the word of God from his prophet Isaiah, he could turn to the wall and make his case before God. You know, as I read this and looked at the text, I wonder if I put myself in that position. And somehow the word came to Worthy, said, Worthy, you're going to die and not live. You better get your house in order. Would I be in a position to make my case before God? And I wondered also, when you look at the text, when God chose to put out the story of Hezekiah, did he put it out there as a story for us to simply admire the great faith and the great example of Hezekiah, or did God put the story there as a standard by which all of us should follow? Things which were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. I would submit that God told the story of Hezekiah because as Hezekiah was able to turn his face to the wall, I believe the expectation of God is that we be in the same position of Hezekiah at all times in our lives. He could plead his case before God. And you know, when he pleads his case before God, I don't believe he pleaded his case out of a false pride or out of trusting in himself. Oh, you know, God, you know, I don't know why you're doing this to me. No, I don't see that. I believe that as he pleaded his case, it was a case of a man who was sincere in his walk and sincere in his way of looking at life. Wait a minute, God, I tried to trust you. I walked before you. I've had a perfect heart, and I've done that which is good in thy sight. And you know what? I believe that Hezekiah, when you have this kind of mindset, you know who God is. And Hezekiah knew that I can't stand before God and try to push something on God that I know is not true. Not only is he looking at my actions, he can look down deep into the depths of my heart and know what I'm thinking. I can't put anything over on God. So when Hezekiah was making this statement, Hezekiah was making a statement out of a true and a pure heart to God. And I just believe that his position was a position that was rooted, that rooted him in the midst of this very challenging time. He was rooted in the fact that he had a life and a righteousness that could be recalled. You know, it's something about this mind. And you know, the mind has a way of recalling things. It can recall some good things, and it can recall some not so good things. And I just believe that it's very important for us to conduct ourselves so that when our mind goes back, and you know, the mind has a way of identifying or associating itself with the things that I've been and the things that I've done. While the proverbial writer said in Proverbs chapter 4, it said, keep your heart with all diligence. Amen. He said, for out of it are the issues of life. How do I deal with the issues of life? How do I deal with the decisions of life? I got to keep a heart that's right. And so when we look at Hezekiah, Hezekiah was one who was rooted in a righteousness that could be recalled. And I don't believe you recall, I don't believe again that Hezekiah recalled these things out of a false pride, and neither should any of us. Because but for the grace of God, here I am. But we should be able to look at our lives and recall the fact that I'm someone that is striven to live my life in accordance to the will of God. We have the second point. I believe that he was rooted in the recognition that God recognized him. He was rooted in the recognition that God recognized him. Have you ever been in a place in which you were there in the midst of a whole lot of people and you knew no one? But then, all of a sudden, here comes somebody calling you by name. And it brings some calm to you. It brings a little bit of assurance to you when there's somebody there that knows you. This was the case, I believe, with Hezekiah. And the reason that he could order his case before God, because he knew that he was serving a God who knew him. I don't know about you, but I don't care how many times I read this story and I look at the fact that God responded to Hezekiah. When Hezekiah turned to the wall and prayed, he wasn't just praying a cumulative prayer to a God that would look down and bless him in a group. But he was praying to a God who knew him specifically. You know, that should root a case that causes us to be rooted in our relationship with God. As I pray to God, God knows me. He knows Greenville Avenue Church of Christ. He knows this world. He knows this nation. He knows the brotherhood of congregations throughout this nation and this world. But in the midst of all that, God knows me. The psalmist states that in Psalms chapter 139, verse 1 through 6. I won't go over and read it. We've looked at it many times. But the Bible says, "Oh Lord, thou hast searched me and known me." And given the fact that there is a God, an omnipotent God, an omniscient God, all powerful, all knowing, he's everywhere, and this God knows me, I ought to be rooted in that fact that I have a personal relationship with God, and God has an intimate knowledge of me. I don't know how many of you have ever, as you've grown up, had close friends. It's a great blessing to have a close friend. I mean a real friend. Not somebody that'll leave you when things get tough. Lose your job and all of a sudden they're nowhere around. But I'm talking about a real friend. A friend that's not afraid to tell you when you're going wrong. A friend that's willing to stick with you in the midst of troubles and stick with you in the midst of the times that you falter. A friend that's willing to be by your side and go with you through thick and thin. I believe somewhere it said, we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. God is a friend, and God is one that knows us, and I ought to be rooted just in the fact that God has an intimate recognition of me. We live in a day of so much information. I found it interesting that Facebook got in trouble. You know, all you going out on Facebook, you better be careful. And Mark Zuckerberg, the owner of Facebook, had to go out and issue apologies because that's the way Facebook makes their money. They sell information. Everybody posting everywhere you're going and putting pictures.
Amen.
Telling the burglars when you're going to be out of town. But it's information. And that information is being utilized. And that information is being sold. But it's wonderful to have a God who uses the information that he knows about me to my benefit. We ought to be rooted in the recognition that God recognizes me. Then a third point. We ought to be rooted in a righteous response to challenges. Many times when, in this particular account of Hezekiah, and dealing with the challenges that he had, many times in looking at this particular text, the text, many of us always only emphasize the fact of Hezekiah's sickness. Then Isaiah chapter 38 and verse number 1. But in actuality, Hezekiah had two problems. He had his sickness, as an outline in Isaiah chapter 38 and verse number 1. But he had a second problem. And the second problem was the fact that he was under the threat of invasion by other enemy armies. If you look in Isaiah chapter 37 and verse number 10 through verse number 13, there was an enemy army representative that came and said to Isaiah, beginning at verse number 10, he said, I don't have time to read, but go back and read chapter 36 and verse 37 to get the full context of what took place. The Bible said, thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, look at his verbiage here. He said, let not thy God, in whom thou trustest, deceive thee. Saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. He said, behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands by destroying them utterly, and shalt thou be delivered? In other words, we have a clean record. We've defeated everybody we've come across. You think you're going to get away? Look at what he says. Have the gods, little g, of the nations delivered them, which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezep, and the children of Eden, which were in Telassar? Where is the king of Hamath, and the king of Arphad, and the king of the city of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? Now watch this. I'm talking about a righteous response. Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messenger, and he read it. And the Bible said, Hezekiah went up unto the house of the Lord. And the Bible said, and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah did what? He prayed unto the Lord. O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, thou that dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thine ear, O Lord. Hear, open thine eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear all the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent to reproach the living God. When Nehemiah or Hezekiah is now facing attack from another nation, he has a righteous response. It's the same response when he was told that he was sick. When he was sick, he turned his face to the wall and he prayed. As he received the letter as a military threat, he took the letter, he spread it before God, and he prayed. Sometimes if something bad comes in the mail, maybe I'll take the letter and hold it up before God, pray. I'm serious. Now, you know, faith without works is dead, but you pray about it. I said earlier that righteousness is conforming to the law and the will and the mind of God. Paul gave us a command over Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. He said, be careful for nothing. He said, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That is a command. That is the law of God. And so to conform to what this command says is a proper, it is a righteous response to challenges. He could have easily said, oh no, all these countries have been defeated. Turn to worry. Turn to other things. You know, there are a lot of things that people turn to when they're in trouble. But for the Christian, ought to turn to prayer. I need to turn to prayer. Prayer is a righteous response to the will of God. When I think about prayer, you know, in my, I don't know how many of you own one of these, but I have a Knaves topical Bible. That's not what this is, but a Knaves topical Bible. And that topical Bible separates scriptures by various topics. And in that Knaves topical Bible, in the section under prayer, I have some sections, some scriptures that are underlined. And I go back to those scriptures from time to time when I feel a need to be encouraged and to be built up by the promises of prayer. And I just want to share four of my favorite scriptures. Psalms chapter 34 and verse number 17. The psalmist says, the righteous cry and the Lord delivers them out of their troubles. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse number 24. The Bible says, and this is a beautiful text. It says, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. Psalms chapter 145 and verse number 18. The Bible says, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all them that call upon him in truth. And then Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse number 3. God says, call upon me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God is a God who answers prayer, and a righteous response can bring about the blessings and the providence of God. Then, as I bring the lesson to a close, as a result of being rooted in a righteousness that could not, or that could be recalled, and as a result of being rooted in a recognition that God recognizes me, and as a result of being rooted in a righteous response, Hezekiah was then rooted in rejoicing. If you go back to Isaiah chapter 38, and you look down to verse number 17, the Bible said, behold, for peace, I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins. See, there's an acknowledgement that Hezekiah didn't do this, make his response out of pride. Look at what he said. Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. But then look what he says in verse number 18. He said, for the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down in the pit cannot hope for thy truth. He said, the living, he shall praise thee. as I do this day, the Father to the children, shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me. Then he says, we will sing songs to the stringed instruments. Of course, that's Old Testament. Amen. We will sing songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life. For in the house of the Lord. Well, what are you saying, Hezekiah? Maybe he's saying that in so much as God has saved me, in so much as God gave me another chance, in so much as God helped me to overcome those that were threatening me. And you know, I didn't even deal with the rest of that. Go back to Isaiah chapter 37. When it talked about those that were going to come and destroy, try to destroy Hezekiah's kingdom. Look at what God said in Isaiah chapter 37 and verse number 33. It said, thus, therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. By the same way that he came, shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. And then look what he said, for I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. And then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote the camp of the Assyrians, 185,000 men. When they rose up early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Then look what he did to the king. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and dwelt in Nineveh. And it came to pass as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his God, not the God, but his God, that Adrammelech and Sharezer, his sons, smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia. And his son reigned in his stead. Hezekiah had a problem with sickness. God healed him. Hezekiah had a problem with some enemies. God took care of him. And now Hezekiah said it's time to rejoice. We ought to be grounded in rejoicing. Maybe I've not been delivered from death, and maybe I've not been delivered from some enemies that were as aggressive as Hezekiah's enemies, but I've been delivered from something. And I just believe that for the Christian, we ought to be grounded. Part of our grounding and part of us being rooted is we ought to take out some time, not just when something significantly good happens, but we ought to take out some time all the time and just rejoice. Thank you, Father. Thank you for life. Thank you just to take a breath. Amen. Thank you just to be able to go home and have a roof over my head. Thank you that I don't have to go hungry. Thank you that I got plenty of water. Thank you that I got plenty of clothes. Amen. Father, I rejoice your name just for the simple things of this life. You don't have to, if you don't bless me with anything else, Father, you've done enough. Amen. You've done enough. Now just believe if we find ourselves in a position where we're always finding and looking for something wrong. Amen. We're living beneath our privilege as a Christian. We ought to be looking for all the good things that God has done. Amen. While I'm here, that's why Hezekiah said, you can't praise him from the grave. While I'm here, while I've got life, while the blood, like the old preachers used to say, while the blood is wanting warm through my veins, let me praise him now. Because you see, Satan, he wants you to be upset. He wants you to be disappointed with life. He wants you to be disillusioned with life. Because when you can become disillusioned with life, you can become disillusioned with God. And when you become disillusioned with God, Satan has a place to come in.
but rejoice. I believe that's why Paul gave the command, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's not optional. It's a command. And I just believe that as we rejoice, it's going to make the quality of our lives better. And it's going to cause us to be more of those individuals that are unshakable, that are rooted and unmovable in our relationship with God. I find comfort in the life of Hezekiah. I hope you found comfort as we went to relook his life tonight. Praise God. There might be someone here that is not a member of the Lord's church. We encourage you to come to the Lord this evening. Hear the word of God, believe the same, repent of your sins, confess that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, go down to the watery grave of baptism, come up a new creature in Christ. You're added to the Bible, added to the church that we can find in the Bible. You live your life in accordance to the rest of your life, to the courts, to the will of God, that one day heaven will be your home. If you're here tonight and you are a member of the Lord's church, maybe you're not rooted in a life, a righteousness that you can recognize. Maybe you're not rooted in the fact that you're recognized by God. Maybe you're not rooted in a proper response, a righteous response. Maybe you're not rooted in rejoicing. God calls you to do those things, so that your life can be pleasing and acceptable to him. If there's anyone here that has a need tonight, we ask that you please come as we together stand and sing the song of encouragement.
If for the prize we have striven, after our labors are o'er, the rest to our souls will be given on that eternal shore. Home of the soul, beautiful home, there we shall rest, never to roam. Free from all care, we're happy and bright. And he is my light off in the storm. Lonely are we, sighing for home, longing for thee. Beautiful home of the ransomed beside the crystal sea. And yes, a sweet rest is remaining for the true children.